You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Get out and vote, but be prepared to wait in line. Maybe longer than an hour. That was this morning's scene where I went to vote. A little over an hour. You know, it used to be, you just go in, walk in, you know, they look for your address, your name, and you're like, you know, you're on a fast pass at Disney World. This time around, I show up and I go, what are all those people around the building doing? And then all of a sudden, I go over to the wrong side and a guy goes, hey, it's this way. And I don't think he's talking to me because I'm thinking, there's never a line like this. You're over here. The line's over here. And then I keep walking. He goes, hey, Sports Center guy, it's over here. And I go, oh, that's me. And then I go, oh, man. I don't know if I can get this done this morning.
He dropped SportsCenter guy on.
Yeah. And then I figured it was me. Because Van Pelt, he doesn't live there around there anymore. Yes, Pauline.
Did you guys notice, and I knew Kanye West was running for president, mm-hmm. but I thought it was more of like a thing that he did for a couple weeks. He was on the ballot.
Oh, yeah.
You guys saw him on the ballot?
Yeah.
I was pretty surprised because I didn't think he was following through with it.
No, he's following through.
I'm not telling you if I voted for him or not. I won't give
okay,
that information.
No,
I did see him on the ballot.
Vegas has prop bets.
And he was listed as from Wyoming.
Yes.
I did not know Kanye West was from Wyoming. I thought he's from Chicago.
Well, no, he lives there, or he's got a place there. He's got a compound there. But there's an over-under on how many votes he'll get this year. Vegas has an over-under on Kanye West. Like, does he get 1 million votes? Might be that's the over-under. All right, Cam Jordan, he's the New Orleans Saints, a great defensive end. He had a great interview. He'll join us coming up. Rich Eisen, he's a Michigan Wolverine apologist. He'll join us coming up in an hour from now. If I said to all the Michigan alum, Jim Harbaugh at the end of the year or other, how would you vote? And you can't abstain, so we'll talk to Eisen joining us coming up. McLovin, the poll question today.
If the Giants had a top three pick, should they draft a quarterback? 54% say yes.
It depends on who the quarterback is, because teams will get into this mindset and say, we got to get a quarterback. Never really thinking, did we get the right quarterback? We just have to get a quarterback. That's not the way it works. You must get the quarterback that fits in with your philosophy, with your coach, your offensive coordinator, and sometimes you go and say, we got our quarterback, but he doesn't fit in with our style. And that would be my big problem. What is the Giants' style of football that they want to play? Is it a still run first with Saquon Barkley, try to build up the defense? Or are they going to fall in line with the rest of the NFL and open it up and actually throw the ball around? Because the Giants have sort of been that way for a long, long time. You know, a far more conservative approach. They weren't necessarily a passing team with Eli. They counted on Eli to have some big passes there, but they were always defensive-minded there. Things have changed. Times have changed in the NFL. Yeah, McLeod.
The team that's been built, the draft picks the last few years have been so problematic. This kid, Andrew Thomas, they took a left tackle, is supposed to be struggling.
Yep.
DeAndre Baker's in jail. You know, it's all sorts of problems.
That'd be a bad draft pick if you end up in jail, I'm guessing.
Right? I'm sorry. I know he was arrested. I'm not sure if he's currently in jail. And also, a lot of people think Saquon was still, looking back on it, a mistake. Is that because he's hurt? I guess it's really hard to evaluate.
At the time, I thought he was the missing ingredient because they spent all that money on their defense. I thought if you have Eli, now I have somebody who can help him out of the backfield, running the football. And I thought they had the pieces to go to the Super Bowl. Well, it was a perfect storm, and it didn't work out well. Saquon Barkley put up good numbers. Defense was a big letdown. You had some guys who quit on the Giants. It just didn't go well. If you had to do it over again, no, I would not take Saquon Barkley there. But I wouldn't take any of those running backs in the top 10, even the top 15. Just wouldn't do it. And I'm thinking Christian McCaffrey, I don't want Christian McCaffrey in the top 10. He's great, you know, fan favorite, wonderful, all those things. And I don't want him. Leonard Fournette went high. I just don't think that's happening ever again. Or I shouldn't say ever again, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon where teams are going to go, we can't pass on that running back. I mean, even now, you know, do you look at somebody and say, we got to have that running back? In college football, Travis Etienne. He's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Maybe at the end of the first round, second round. Yeah, McLovin.
Feels like the most important skill is the ability to catch the ball. That's why Helaire was so good, right? And Travis Etienne's improved a lot of that. Like, Kamara is the best running back in the league maybe right now because he catches so many passes.
I don't know if he's the best running back. I think he might be the best pass-catching running back in the league. But I don't know if he's the best running back.
Or okay, in the conversation. Yeah. But that's his most valuable skill.
You know, he's wonderful. I mean, he's dynamic. Yeah, Paul.
You only need one team to fall in love, though. Travis Etienne, people look at him and say, he's Alvin Kamara, but better. Because his stats look, I mean, his what he does in college looks so fantastic. And then you get that, you know, the Seattle Seahawks see that third, you know, great running back. It'll happen. Someone will be taking the top 15 in the next 3 years. And Etienne is right there.
Well, you expanded it to the top 15.
Okay, I'll do top 10 in the next 3 years.
All right.
Including this draft.
Okay. I'll bet you...
Case of beer.
Ooh.
Of your choice.
Okay.
Miller Lite.
Yeah, John Lester, the Cubs pitcher, is, I guess he's done with the Cubs, and he bought, I think he spent, what, $30,000, $40,000 on beer in Chicago?
Yeah, he bought a round for the on the house for the town in case he's leaving town for good, and at four different bars in Chicago, mostly like Rush Street Division area.
Okay, so downtown, and then he had four bars that he was picking up the tab for Miller Lite.
You just walk and say, put this one on John, and they did it, and you know, it was a real deal.
Yes, Todd.
And people would actually complain about the choice of beer. He spent $47,000, and he was being generous like that, and there's people that are questioning why he picked Miller Lite.
I just saw a headline on a website. Might have been Deadspin, like, couldn't John Lester have bought better beer? And I'm thinking, you know, the best beer to get is a free beer. Cold, free, me. I'll take three. Yeah, Paul.
I grew up in Chicago. That's not a beer town. That's not a craft beer town. It may be now, or maybe inching that way in certain places, in certain neighborhoods. But that was a Bud Light, Coors Light, Busch Light, Keystone Light, etc. Old style Hams, Schlitz town.
The Buccaneers beat the Giants last night. Did the Giants somehow get robbed here? I was fine with the no call. I just don't. I think where we are with the NFL, when all else fails, whenever there's doubt, just throw a flag. And then you could get together. Hopefully, the home office of the NFL, the officials, the head of officials, is there to look at all of this. And then he's able to contact the field judge, head judge, and say, you know what, pick that flag up. If everybody's doing that, if that's how we're making calls now, then that's fine. Then just let us in. This is what happened, that from what I'm told, the NFL didn't confer with the home office when you had the Saints-Rams debacle in New Orleans. Had they done that, then the head of officials, Al Riveron, would have undoubtedly said, guys, that was pass interference. That was also helmet to helmet. But they didn't do that. And I think since then, the NFL has tried to make up for whatever past sins by let's get these calls right. It was a bang-bang play. I didn't have a problem with it. But obviously, if you're a Giants fan, you're going, that was obviously a pass interference on Deion Lewis. Here is Joe Judge. He's the head coach of the Giants, saying that the official made the right call.
Nate made the right call when he threw the flag. So I'm not sure why it got picked up. We had a pretty good view. I know they can't use a Jumbotron for replay. We had a pretty clear view of that as well. But I thought Nate made the right call the first time. I thought, you know, normally your first instinct is the right one. So
Nate Jones, the field judge. Now he's complimenting the official, saying, yeah, he made the right call. And then you can't use the Jumbotron. You can't look at the replay here. What are you conferring? What are you getting together? You're getting together, I think, to buy time so the NFL home office central control is saying, yeah, pick it up. I think that's what happened. I don't know how often they're doing that, though. That would be another, I'd be curious, behind the scenes, how often do they defer to the home office to go, you know what, you missed that one. Or, you know, pick that up. You got it right. Here's Bruce Arians after the game.
To me, there was no pass interference. I thought it was a good call. So, I don't know why it took so long, but, he had his hands out. There was no contact. The ball hit him in the back.
And here's Tom Brady on the performance last night.
the interceptions were huge for us. And then defense really helped us out getting a few interceptions. And then the touchdown to Gronk, he made a great catch because the ball got tipped at the line of scrimmage. He had great concentration on that. And then Mike's was an incredible catch. So those guys are making a lot of plays. We obviously didn't play the way we were capable tonight, but it's still good to go get a win.
I don't know if they were looking past the Giants, because coming up this Sunday night, they've got the Saints. Just a thought that I had as they were kind of slugging their way through this. And if Danny Dimes, you know, has a couple of good plays or doesn't force a couple plays, the Giants are winning this game. Maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were looking past the Giants. I could understand why that can happen, you know, subconsciously. But the Giants play hard. They're teams that, you know, do not play hard. They get to the fourth quarter and they're like, we're not winning this game. The Giants have played hard and they lose close games. And they're losing close games because they need a quarterback who can make plays. And Daniel Jones, as much talent as he has, if I say, what does he do well? And you're saying, well, he's athletic or he's got a big arm. I just want to know, how are you in a big situation? Do you make plays? Do you make mistakes? What happens to you? And he does both. That's the problem. Because I can't go, I got him figured out. I watch him and I go, golly, in the right system, or like he's missing something there. But I don't know if he's going to find that with the Giants. I don't know. I don't know what kind of offensive mind that Joe Judge is. I don't know what kind of team they want to be. And it just feels like they still want to be we run the ball to set up the pass, and we're a defensive-minded team. Yeah, Paulie.
And going back to Jameis Winston, that he had a lot of moments where he kept plays alive and made great plays going back to Florida State, but then he'd give up just as much as he took, I guess you'd say. And that's why he's not starting it. But he had some great moments.
There are 31 running backs with at least 75 offensive touches this season. So that's rushing and receiving. Among the group, Alvin Kamara has by far the most yards per touch at 7 yards. Only one running back is within 1 yard of that average. Miles Sanders at 6.3.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
So we have our poll question, McLovin?
Yeah. We were talking on this side of the glass, by the way. Lewis Riddick does such an amazing job of breaking it down. I thought that he did Daniel Jones no favors by keep saying, he should have seen this guy here. He should have seen that guy there. He was just like, without an agenda at all, kind of eviscerated Daniel Jones a little bit.
The NFL trade deadline is a lot of fun to talk about, but that doesn't mean we're going to have any impactful deals, especially this year, because teams have had to deal with COVID protocols. You can't just plug and play with new players. And not to mention how crazy the season's been so far, it's kind of hard to tell who's really out there and out of it. Like, is New England out of it? And the answer is no, they're not out of it. And you're adding another playoff team in the NFC and the AFC. In the NFC East, everybody's in it. The Eagles are 3-4-1, look like they're favorites. Are they sellers? Can you imagine being a favorite, leading the division and being a seller? You look around the league, and there aren't a lot of obvious situations. Patriots are 2-5. They play the Jets this week. They go 3-5. They're not out of the AFC East race. But it feels like they might be sellers coming up today. There's talented teams like the Vikings and the Falcons. They have expensive veterans. Can you give them away? Pennies on the dollar. I'm watching closely the rest of the day. If the deadline, you know, starts to heat up, it rarely lives up to the hype, but I'd be looking for some of these teams that you might not think are sellers that are sellers here. The fact that the Vikings would be a seller might surprise some people. You just had this impressive win against Green Bay. And that's where you go, well, wait a minute. We just did it against Green Bay, and they're the best team in our division. Why can't we do this all the time? Well, Dalvin Cook stays healthy. That's another thing I look with Green Bay. Green Bay might be going back to the playoffs. Might be putting up, 12 wins this year. Still got the same problem. They can't stop the run. I mean, they get roughed up. They get bullied. Buccaneers did it. Go back to San Francisco last year. They got San Francisco, wounded San Francisco coming up this Thursday night. Okay, can't stop the run. And that's where you wonder, everybody, it feels, there are a lot of teams, a lot of these contenders who picked up defensive players here in the last week or so. Green Bay did not. And as much as Aaron Rodgers would love to have a wide receiver, they got to have a little bit of defense in there. I'm not saying a lot, but the Packers don't have a good defense. And that's going to come back and haunt them again in the postseason. Kansas City, I think their defense got better. The Steelers' defense is really good. The Ravens got a pretty good defense as well. Tampa Bay's got a good defense. You still have to have something on the other side of the ball. Because you're going to score, but you got to make sure that they're not, you know, going toe-to-toe scoring with you. And these teams that are going to play for the Super Bowl this year, Seattle might be an anomaly where they're just going to try to outscore you. But they did go out and add a couple of defensive players, including Carlos Dunlap. You're going to need it at some point in this season. Absolutely. Phil in Atlanta joins us. Good morning, Phil. What's on your mind? Always great to hear from you.
Hey, Dan. Always a pleasure. Hey, quick question. Watching Sunday night and then last night, I'm thinking to myself, would any of these guys, like let's say Carson Wentz, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, any of these guys be starters if their existing teams now give up on them and they went to a different team or city? Because I'm thinking no, but I wanted to get your thoughts, Dan. Always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks again.
Thank you, Phil. Sam Darnold, I think, will eventually be a starter again. I'm going to put a lot of the blame on the Jets organization. I don't know about Baker Mayfield. I don't know about Mitchell Trubisky. I don't know who else he said.
I think Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones probably. But I'm not sure which team they're going to end up with because it feels like there's this trend, the Ryan Tannehill trend of, hey, it didn't work out here. I'm going to go here. I'm going to be a backup. I'm going to bide my time. And then I get the opportunity and maybe I could play at a high level. But I don't know how many openings there are because there's the supply and the demand. There's so much supply right now. You know, the number, there's going to be three, I think there's four quarterbacks who'll be taken in the first round coming up. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, and Wilson out of BYU. There are probably four quarterbacks taken in the first round. Well, where are they going? And you know the first two quarterbacks taken are probably going to be playing right away. Yeah, McClellan.
It feels like you have to do a year on the bench, like Jameis Winston, Mariota, maybe more for Mariota. So I think that to that caller's point, they won't immediately get a job. Like, do you think they'll be like Jameis and have to find the spot where they earn their way back in?
Yes, because I look at Jameis as more of the future in New Orleans than I do Taysom Hill. I mean, Taysom Hill was 30, and I didn't think he was a great college quarterback. Jameis was a great college quarterback. I just think that he needs to be taught. He needs to understand the position, not just I got a big arm and I can throw it. And, you know, you've got to think your way down the field. And if Jameis does that, then he'll be a starter again. I think Sam Darnold, the jury's still out, but I think he'll get another chance. I still maintain, like, he'd be perfect for Pittsburgh. You bring him in there and let him sit behind Ben, who'll probably play one more year, and that'd be a great guy to put in there as your starting quarterback. I don't know what the Niners are going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, there's a lot of unrest when it comes to that position. Jacksonville, what's Jacksonville going to do? Yeah, McClellan.
You also have a big free agent class. You'll have Cam Newton. You'll have maybe Dak. I mean, you'll have some names. There's other spots.
Yeah, I don't think Dak's going to be out there. I don't think so.
Yeah, you're right. But do you think they're going to tag him for $40 million?
I mean, if we were on First Take right now, then I would say, yeah, Dak's going to be out there on the open market. Who would be interested in him?
Well, but they're going to pay $40 million for him next year?
Yeah, no.
At a rebuild?
I don't think the Cowboys view this as a rebuild. I think they're just, you know, getting healthy.
Did I feel terrible. Did I raise the Dak Cowboys question?
Yes, you did. And I told you, you're not allowed to do that. Did you do that on purpose? Did you do that for clicks?
No.
Okay.
No.
If you honestly did that, then I'm accepting of that.
Yeah, yeah. I said Cam, too, which, by the way, is an intriguing topic, too.
And Baker. Throw in Baker as well.
Oh, Baker, forget it. Now, that's the poll. I'm just going to put those three names on the website. Just vote. Oh, they don't even know what the question is.
Yeah, there's no question. Just vote. Take a break. We'll talk to the New Orleans Saints' great defensive end. Cameron Jordan will join us. The Saints' defense will see Antonio Brown coming up on Sunday night. And Rich Eisen from the NFL Network will join us coming up top of the hour. We'll get to more of your phone calls. Always welcome. 21 after the hour. This is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. A couple of months ago, I launched a podcast. It's called That Scene. It's on Amazon Music, and I interview certain actors or directors, producers, about a scene in a famous movie or TV show. Bryan Cranston, we have him talking about the final scene, Breaking Bad. This week, it's Lance Riddick and Lieutenant Daniels in The Wire. And we talk about some other things. Really interesting conversation. And it's available today, That Scene. Lance Riddick. He's also in Bosch. He was in Oz. He's in John Wick. And a great voice, too. It was a lot of fun talking to him. Yeah, Paul.
Does he give you, I mean, I know your answer. He gives you some good Wire tidbits, doesn't he?
Yes.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah. But he was just talking about when you'd go into the projects, like, you know, what real life is like there and trying to convey what real life is like in The Wire. And I said, I always got this feeling that I was eavesdropping on somebody's real life when that first scene or first episode or first season of The Wire. I thought it was so well done. And of course, everybody agrees with that. But he's also in John Wick, and he was also in Oz. But some of the other actors we have, Ralphie from A Christmas Story, Peter Billingsley talks about nearly getting his eye shot out with his BB gun there. So it's called That Scene, and it's on Amazon Music. He is the pride of the New Orleans Saints. He's Cameron Jordan. Five-time Pro Bowler who joins us on the program. Who's got more Pro Bowls, you or your dad? Oh, I like that. You got your vote mask on today. I like that. That's an entrance there, Cameron. Who's got more Pro Bowls, you or your dad? Uh-oh, I think your mute button might be on. There you go.
I'll say, absolutely. You know, gotta have my vote mask on. I'm good. But in terms of the Pro Bowl, I'd like to say, Jordan, we have 11 Pro Bowls.
Let me hold on here, Cam, because I still got a bad connection here. So we'll see if we can rectify that. But it sounds a little hollow there, and we'll try to figure that out. By the way, 877-3DP show. And then I'm going to talk to Rich Eisen coming up here at the top of the hour. We wanted to have Rich on since he's a Michigan alum, get his thoughts on what's going on with Jim Harbaugh. They got a game against Indiana that's kind of sneaky because Indiana is a whole lot better than what you think. And they already beat Penn State at home. And we thought we'd have Rich on and to talk some NFL stuff as well. Yes, Paul.
Poor Rich has to get worked up for the Indiana-Michigan game. Like usually in his mind, historically, he could take a few weekends off where it was going to be a nice, easy win.
But I said this yesterday, if you're a Michigan fan, you'd rather lose to Ohio State, I think, than lose to Michigan State at home because that is embarrassing. This is a Michigan State team that lost to Rutgers. Like Ohio State, you sort of expect to lose to. But is Cam back with us? Okay, let's try it again, Cam.
Can you hear me now?
Yay!
Is this better?
Yay!
Are we back?
Okay, so your dad have more Pro Bowls than you?
Yeah. He's got 6. I keep saying, I was like, you know, in my household, we go about the Jordan men have 11 Pro Bowls. I've only got 5. So, you know, I'm almost holding my weight, but at least we're double digits.
And your dad played tight end for the Vikings, Steve mm-hmm. Jordan, for over a decade, I think.
Yeah, 13 seasons deep, 82 through 94. You talk about 6 Pro Bowls. Growing up, you just don't realize how great your dad is until, you know, high school, college.
Did you go into the locker room? Do you remember your first game you went to see?
Nah, I mean, I remember being super cold and in some sort of away game type situation where you're just miserable and you're just like, I just want to get out of here, get to the car, and, you know, the car door is frozen, the lock is frozen. So it's not what we call fond memories. I mean, I got more memories of running around the training facility and punching on big punching bags and, you know, whatever it is.
Now, your dad went to Brown. Did you ever consider going to Brown?
Not at all. nothing about the East Coast life is appeasing to a West Coast kid.
Oh, really?
Come on. I'm in Arizona. You know, we used to go into California all the time. Like, the best coast just is just a better way of life. You got like four seasons on the East Coast. I'm not even sure what that's about. My thickest piece of clothing is a sweater, you know, like that. It just doesn't go well. So sweats and shorts aren't going to get you through New York anything.
You got the game coming up Sunday night with the Buccaneers. How closely were you watching the game last night?
I did not. I did not. I'm not going to lie to you. I assumed that Tampa Bay was going to beat the Giants. I didn't realize it was going to be a close game like that.
You can't get anything out of a game like that? Like, that wouldn't be homework?
Oh, for sure. I'm gonna break down that film because they got after him. I mean, I saw the highlights. My kids won last night, so, you know, Monday became an upside-down magic off Disney Plus movie night instead of football.
That's good.
I got three kids. They win sometimes.
Yeah. When you go against Brady, like, is there any surprises?
No, I mean, he's the most, you know, probably the winningest quarterback that you're going to see in our era. You talk about six championship rings. That's undisputed. He's probably the second greatest quarterback of all time. Right.
Wow. Behind
Drew Brees.
Wow. Do you really think that Drew is
who's
a better
got more 5,000 yards season?
Do you think that Drew is a better quarterback than Tom?
Do I know that Drew is a better quarterback? Yeah. last 10 years of my life tells me so.
That's being a good teammate. What do you expect out of Antonio Brown?
We all know Antonio Brown, when he hits the field, is special. Even in his, you know, limited playing time the last, you know, whatever, two seasons of whatever was going on, he showed up and showed out at the Patriots when he played. So we know he is a special talent when he takes the field. That's something that we'll be prepped for. It's not like they already didn't have a potent offense to begin with. What's another piece? It seems like every week they're adding more pieces, right?
Do you know him?
Yeah. I mean, we I hate to say it, but we share the same birthday. And I always say I hate to say it because I hate to share my birthday with anybody. I don't really I think
it doesn't work that way, Cam. Like, there's a lot of people in the world.
I hear you, but I've got friends that have my birthday, and I either congratulate them on the 9th or the 11th.
Not on the 10th.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, man, happy early birthday. And I will not tell you. The 10th is my day. Like, they'll text me, happy birthday, Cam. I'm like, appreciate it. And then the next day, I'm like, hey, same to you. Happy belated. I'm selfish. Sorry.
How would you sum up this season?
The season for the Saints, the season of NFL, Saints. The season because of COVID. That's an open question right there. But for the season for the Saints, we're trending upwards. I mean, sitting at where we were, sitting at 5-2, you know, after going 1-2, it's something that we're fighting. We're fighting each and every week to try and trend upwards. We got a lot of things to overcome, and we're still cleaning up some things. But I like the way we're playing right now.
Do you have a list, whether you actually have one or in your mind, of quarterbacks you've sacked or haven't sacked?
No, not at all. All I care about is that win column. Personal accolades, I worry about in the off season after we get done winning. During season, all I care about is trying to get a Super Bowl. As you say, you know, me and Pop's got 11 Pro Bowls, 23 years of NFL experience between us now. We have no Super Bowls. I'm just trying to win.
Have you sacked Brady?
Yes. Look for verbal confirmation. Yes.
So it wasn't memorable then?
I mean, not at all. I remember my first sack, and I remember my last sack.
Who's the toughest guy to bring down?
I mean, I thought that clearly it's Cam Newton. Cam Newton in his whole Carolina Panthers career. He's bigger. What he's big as they're gonna get, fast as they're gonna get. There is probably no other quarterback that's as hard to take down, especially when he's rolling. Ben Roethlisberger is huge. You know, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson might be my white buffalo. I don't think I've sacked him now that I think about it. But, I mean, Russell Wilson is fast. Lamar Jackson is fast. But Cam Newton has all of it.
Do any of these guys talk to you?
Do I talk to them? Oh. Absolutely. Do they talk back? No. I mean,
But who are you talking? But what are you trying to get out of them?
Or I'm just trying to rile the feathers up. You know, like, at some point, you're just looking like, how can I try and affect them? But they know, like, if you're the face of the franchise, you're getting compensated well. You're probably playing well. And, you know, one sack or two sacks, three sacks, you know, down the line, four sacks, call it. You know, all you're going to do is start talking to your offensive lineman. You're not even going to talk to the defensive end after. Like, I try to get chippy. And at this point, I realize quarterbacks are just good people.
Would you rather face a rookie tackle or a rookie quarterback?
I'd rather face a quarterback who's going to sit in the pocket and pat that ball a couple of times and make smart decisions, you know, make the smart decisions, not just the first decision. You got rookie quarterbacks who come in and know how to air it out and get the ball out of their hands fast. I'd rather have a quarterback sit at 9 yards and try and get to their second or third read.
Ever come close to hitting Breeze?
In practice?
Yeah.
A couple times. I doubt I'll ever get that chance to actually sack Drew. It hurts. It hurts. Like, I mean, we talked about it in practice. I'm like, that would have been one. No, Cam, I would have got out there. I need the validity. Like, I just need to fold you one time. Like, but it's okay. My guy.
What the heck is going on with Michael Thomas? Is he playing Sunday night?
That's a Michael Thomas question. I'm not saying it's above my pay grade, but that's coming from a higher spot than where I'm sitting.
Do you expect him to play Sunday night?
I expect Mike T to play whenever he's told that he will be playing. In terms of what Mike T brings to the game, I can't wait till he gets back to being playing. In my mind, you know, I hope
it's the PR staff next to you, Cameron.
No.
Can you just ask him? Just say, "Hey, is Michael Thomas going to play this weekend?" Just ask him
now. He's not even looking at me.
Yeah, but you can. Right now, you can get his attention.
He's not coming up out of there. At this point, you know, when Mike T takes the field, just know he's going to be right enough to take over.
All right. What are you doing with your new foundation?
The God is Love Foundation. I mean, we're in so many different things. You know, we talk about hurricane season and how it's affected Louisiana from Delta to Laura to now, you know, Zeta that just passed through New Orleans. I mean, I saw the eye of a hurricane, you know, last week with my kids. You know, we went outside and was like, hey, this is the eye of a hurricane. Apparently it's only happened like four times in the last 100 years in New Orleans. So we saw that and then went back inside. But how many people are affected by these hurricanes? So we started up a little fund with United Way. To get money out to Lake Charles and the affected areas. And honestly, you know, we've got a couple of things in the works now with the city of New Orleans, which will be unveiled probably in the next month or so. We've gone through tech funds, we've gone through, you know, diaper funds. This COVID has affected so many people throughout our nation, throughout the world at this point. But controlling what you can't control, trying to affect what you can't affect. My city of New Orleans, you know, I'm always looking and trying to do something for them.
Yeah, Youth Empowerment Project, a mentorship program in New Orleans. It's called Cam Jordan's Dream Builders Fund. You also got a podcast with Mark Ingram.
Hey, no better person to have some fun with than your brother. You know, we came into the Saints together. We played 8 years deep together. And that's my brother from another. It's like, you know, we blood, but we not blood. That's my guy.
He's funny. So he's a character.
Hey, we started it up. And I mean, we just started calling friends around the league and just had a blast for a few episodes. And we're releasing, you know, every Wednesday. We'll drop one tomorrow. Because today is important for voting. And that's what I need everybody to focus on, voting. Tomorrow we'll have more fun.
You going to run for office one day?
Office of politics? Being a dad of three, almost four now? Yes.
That's it.
I'm going to have a soccer van, a mom soccer van, which in my mind is Escalade now. Wifey said she was beyond the soccer van, so she's got to Escalade. So I was like, I'll take that over when, you know, I retire, babe.
I like it.
And then whatever it takes to. But at this point, I feel like I've got about 5 years left of football, and I got to make each one of these years count.
I got you. You know how many sacks you have?
89 and a half regular season, another 5.5 playoffs.
But you don't keep track of your sacks, huh?
No. I think that's really my problem is this year is the first year where I've been like, I'm actually within my goals reach. Normally I worry about, you know, sack totals, all that other stuff after season. And I'm getting back to that mentality. Cause when you think about like that grand picture, like I'm this close to 100 sacks, like 100 sacks is such a marquee, a goal that you can actually capitalize and realize upon. It takes away from, you know, it sort of takes away sort of your focus just a little bit, just in terms of how thirsty you get during a game. Like, I need the sack. Like, I need the sack. I need the sack. And then instead of letting the sacks present themselves.
You got five Pro Bowls. If you get a couple more Pro Bowls and you get over 100 sacks, you get 115, 120 sacks. Now, all of a sudden, you're kind of knocking on the door of Canton.
I'm probably knocking on the door of Canton now. But that's okay. That's not on me. That's not on me. That's on, you know, whoever whoever goes ahead and decides that.
You think you're a Hall of Famer right now?
I always think in my mind that I come out to be the best all-around defensive end in the game. And I think I've proven that over the last 5 years or so. It's not the sacks. It's not, you know, just playing the pass. I play the run. I play the pass. And I play second down, too. I want to play all – if there's 78 snaps in a game, all the snaps in a game. I want to be the best every play, every game that I take the field on.
It's great to catch up with you again. We always appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. Have fun against Brady and the Buccaneers.
Hey, appreciate it. Hey, all we got to do is get 1% better every day, trending upwards. That's all we care about.
That's Cameron Jordan. He doesn't have as many Pro Bowls as his dad. Steve Jordan had 6. Cam has 5. Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, when you start to handicap Hall of Fame careers, and I don't vote because that's the, you know, Football Writers of America that vote on this. But how many sacks now? You have more opportunities for sacks. How many sacks is sort of that? It used to be 10,000 rushing yards for a running back. That's changed. But when it comes to a defensive player, how many interceptions or how many sacks? People don't care about tackles. But sacks, they do. You know, that's a shiny object. Oh, look at the sacks or look at the interceptions. Tackles don't factor in. But if you're playing on a good team, playoff team, maybe if they get to another Super Bowl here, would be, you know, something that would stand out. You know, because Cam will play, but you're thinking about Drew Brees or Michael Thomas or Alvin Kamara, Sean Payton. You sort of forget about anybody on that defense. And they do have some good defensive players. Yeah, Paul.
Whenever we have a positive, energetic guy like Cam Jordan on the show, don't you feel just totally awful about yourself as soon as he hangs up the phone? Like, I'm a slug.
I'm not amounting to anything.
I'm doing okay with it. Jeez, he's got such positivity.
Yeah. Cam Jordan's Dream Builders Fund. We'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. Rich Eisen at the top of the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. NFL Competition Committee, in a meeting yesterday, discussed a contingency plan of having a 16-team playoff bracket if upcoming games are lost due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, reported this per a source. The current plan of playing 256 games in 17 weeks or 18 weeks if necessary remains in place and is unchanged. In the event it's not possible to carry out, the committee discussed the contingency plan and parameters of how the postseason would work. The plan would include 8 teams from the AFC and NFC, each conference's 4 division champs, and 4 wildcard teams. The playoffs would have no buys, traditional seeding, 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, etc. After the playoff entrants were determined, seeding would be carried out according to winning percentage, regardless of whether teams had the best record in their division. If the contingency plan was needed, it would need to be presented to all clubs for approval. Playoff seeds would be the 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5.
So, go Bears.
Yeah, go Bears. Oh, we have a new J.J. Watt poll question. All right. Who's doing the honors? Paulie?
If you were J.J. Watt on the trade deadline day, would you rather be a Houston Texan, a Seattle Seahawk, or a Green Bay Packer? Those are your only choices. You got to wave a wand and pick it.
But his wife plays for a soccer team in Chicago.
Correct.
Okay. But that,
I guess they're kind of a playoff contender, but Green Bay's a Super Bowl contender, and Seattle's definitely a Super Bowl contender, or you could stay with the Houston Texans.
I don't want to stay in Houston. Now, we're just talking football-wise, because I don't know if he's like, I love Houston, I want to stay here even when my career ends.
You get the news this morning that you're traded to one of those 2 teams, or you're staying.
I'd say Green Bay, because Green Bay could use him. They can't stop the run.
I'm groaning over here.
What? Why are you groaning, McLovin?
I don't know. I'm not sure I would want to leave. I mean, in reality, just like to uproot.
Well, what's
Bay.
He uprooting? He doesn't have kids.
I don't know. I feel like I'm not sure.
His wife got traded.
Are they the favorite if he's there? What if he gets to Green Bay? I don't like that kind of weather in the winter. He's from there. By the way, is White Bee in Chicago a pro or a con for the Bears? I was trying to read through that. Did you really want to? I don't want to have to move to Chicago. Yeah.
Well, your wife plays professional soccer there.
How about Arizona? Can we throw that in the poll too?
Yeah, we can, but nobody cares about him going to Arizona.
I read a blog at Arizona Republic. If we get J.J. Watt, we're the Super Bowl favorites in the NFC. Uh-huh. I couldn't believe it.
That was a blog. Did Paulie write that?
I know.
Dabble with the Arizona Republic on the side.
If they get J.J. Watt, they're going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'll send it around.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Jeff in Detroit joins us. Jeff, what's on your mind today?
What up, though? One time for Chat Row. You getting ready to have my Uncle Rich Eisen on. He does have a nephew in Detroit named Jeff. Listen, that's a damn good question, Dan, because I've been sitting here trying to figure out how I'm going to answer it. I also have a question for you after this question.
Okay.
Real quick, you know what he's done. You know what he can do. And I'm a glutton for punishment, so I'm going to give Harbaugh one more year. Just one more year. But at the end of the year, if he hasn't done anything else, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, because it's like you went to go get a Bentley and it's driving like slow as hell. He never is on the road. You know, I'm not getting the benefit of it.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Jeff. I don't know what Harbaugh's contract situation is. I think that he's waiting for an extension. I don't know when that contract is up, but that's going to factor in too, I would imagine here. What's your other question?
Definitely is. My other question comes from Chat Row, Laura T, big fan of yours. She wants to know, knowing that the way that the refs are calling the games now, which one would you rather have, the number one ranked offense or the number one ranked defense going forward?
Thank you, Jeff. I would take the number one offense because the game is predicated on providing opportunities for the offense. And, you know, Tony Dungy said you can build a defense, but you got to find a quarterback. You have to have those weapons. It's just, you know, quick strike league. It's about scoring. So I'd say offense. Probably wouldn't have said that a couple of years ago. Rich Eisen set to join us coming up. Final hour. More of your phone calls. I think, are we going to stay with the J.J. Watt poll question?
For a little bit.
All right. Final hour coming up.